love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. The changes that Christ works in the hearts of those who will open their hearts to him. This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. I sure do believe that when Christ comes into the heart, he brings his joy and his peace, which has nothing to do with outward circumstances. There's another old hymn that says, "He keeps me singing." You know, Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full and complete." Joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. You know how when you go to visit England and you go to the castle, if the flag is flying there at Windsor Castle, it means the queen is at home. But if the flag is not there, she's not there. Do you know what is a good manifestation and witness to the fact that Christ the King is at residence in your heart and life? The flag is joy. And that's not some joy manufactured by positive thinking or whatever. It is joy imparted by the Holy Spirit because our spirit bears witness with his that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we are his children, and that brings joy. Jesus said to his apostles when they returned home, exuberant over the fact that even the devils were subject to them through the Lord's name. And Jesus said, "Don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That's our reason for rejoicing today. It's not because you've got lots of money. It's not because you feel great. It's not because everything is going your way, because in the lives of many Christians, many things are going in reverse. Some of God's choicest saints, in fact, many of God's choicest saints down through the centuries have had to tread deep, troubled waters. We know that. And yet down deep in their heart was that unspeakable joy, because it was not hinged on things, not even on success, not on prosperity, but it was connected to the fact that their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that they were a ransomed soul, their sins forgiven, on the way to heaven, and that brings joy. "There's within my heart a melody," Jesus whispers sweet and low. "Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still," in all of life's ebb and flow. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken string, stirred the slumbering chords again. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Do you know that Luther Bridgers, a Methodist pastor and evangelist from Georgia, is believed to have written that hymn, both the words and music, back in 1910, following the death of his wife and three sons in a fire at the home of his wife's parents while he was away conducting revival meetings in Kentucky? You notice the fourth stanza said, "Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way." I do believe with all my heart that God can and will put a song in your heart, joy in your soul, even in the midst of life's roughest pathways. When you know that your sins are forgiven, your hand is in God's hand, and regardless of what's going on outwardly, inwardly you can have heaven's peace and an overwhelming sense of His joy, because His presence fills your heart and life. Oh, that's the conviction of the Christian, and that's the hope of the Christian, and it's not make-believe either, because our joy and peace hinges on the promises and the faithfulness of God, not on our own feelings and circumstances. The Bible clearly teaches that. So, dear friend, together let's just humble ourselves before the Lord in this time of morning devotions. Let us bow down and worship the Lord, our Maker, God, our King. And as we praise Him and worship Him, let His joy fill your heart, regardless of the circumstances. Bible says, Psalm 95, verse 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand." And I love this verse in Isaiah 40, verse 11. Let me read it to you from the New International Version Translation, the NIV. "He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart." Isn't that beautiful? Isaiah 40, verse 11. "He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart." Are you one of His little lambs? If you're not, you can be. You don't have to remain a goat the rest of your life with a stiff neck and in rebellion against God. You can submit to Him. You can surrender everything that you are. And don't you know who's getting the better end of the bargain? When we give God everything that we are and turn loose of everything, and receive in return everything that God is, who do you think's getting the better bargain? We are. We give God our ashes, He gives to us beauty. We give God our chains of bondage, He gives us His liberty. We give God our emptiness, He gives to us His fullness. And when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love hath no limit, His grace hath no measure, His power no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus He giveth and giveth and giveth again. We are getting the better end of the bargain. Lord, gladly today I give to you everything that I am that's compared to ashes. I give to you my ashes, and I receive your beauty. And I know that you are no respecter of persons, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear Lord and Savior, the one who came from heaven's glory and splendor, born in the little humble stable of Bethlehem, and died on the old rugged cross to save us sinners. Dear Savior, I pray for these who are listening to this broadcast at this very moment, wherever they may be. And if someone is listening who is not one of the Lord's lambs, he or she is going in the opposite direction, running from the shepherd. Take them up in your arms today, dear Lord. Take them up in your arms. Hold them close to your heart. And as they pray to you, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Savior, dear shepherd, take my life, take my heart. I give it to you. Then take them, Lord, and gather them in your arms and carry them close to your heart and love them with that love that will never let them go. It will never let them go. Draw them to you today, Lord. This world has nothing to give us, but you have everything.
That wilt not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe. That in thine ocean
beautiful. How reassuring, isn't it? Oh, love that will not let me go. All the loves of earth are transitory, including all of us. We're so fickle. We're so easily changed. But God never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. O love that wilt not let me go. I come to understand that there are many scriptures in the Bible which will speak terror to the heart of the sinner. Scriptures like, for our God is a consuming fire, or it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, or prepare to meet thy God, or another one that says, for the wages of sin is death. There are many scriptures like that, Old and New Testaments, which are designed to strike terror to the heart of the sinner, to cause him or her to turn to the Lord and to seek after God and to walk in his ways before it's too late and time is up. But then I also discover that there are many gentle, sweet, comforting, warm verses of Scripture given to those who love him, those of the sheep of his pasture, just like that one I read to you a few moments ago in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Could anything be sweeter, warmer, more comforting, more uplifting than that? Just make sure you're one of his lambs, that you're not a sinner headed in the wrong direction that leads toward hell and destruction, but that you have received Christ as your Savior and you have a heart for God. If that be the case, then you are one of those of whom the Bible is speaking, how he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. And I find that in the Scripture, the arm of the Lord is described as working effectively in the lives of his children against the Lord's enemies. Just like in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, Moses said to Israel, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. You see, that arm of God that was stretched out against the enemies of the Lord, it was not that gentle arm that gathered his lambs up and carried them close to his heart. It was an almighty stiff arm against the enemies of God. Psalm 89, verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand and high as thy right hand. Psalm 98, verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Isaiah 30, verse 30, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm. All of these scriptures are there to show that the battle is not yours. It is God's, and with his strong arm he will bring victory and deliverance and make a way for his children where there seems to be no way. God said to Job, hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? And Jeremiah described the arm of the Lord working effectively in the creation of this universe when he said, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Isn't that something? The creation of this whole universe is described as nothing more than the accomplishment of God's stretched out arm. He made it. And how comforting it is to know that that same strong, mighty arm that defeats the enemy, that makes a way through the Red Sea when there is none, that stretched out the heavens as a curtain, that created this universe, that same great arm is the same one of whom the Scripture says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't that beautiful? So the psalmist could say, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. What holds us up as a Christian? What holds us up? Our own strength, our own self-energy and respect and goodness? Oh, no. the arms of God. Tenderly, lovingly, in warm embrace, takes his child, his son, his daughter, and with his arms he lifts them up and holds them. O Lord, be gracious unto us, said Isaiah. We have waited for thee, be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. How comforting it is to know that amid all the ebbings and flowings of our changing history, the merciful arms of God hold us up, those same arms that could stiff-arm the enemy are warmly wrapped around those who love him in a tender embrace to hold them up, to keep their feet from falling. Lord, hold us up today. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, said the psalmist. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Oh, may the arms of God be round about you today. May his presence fill that room where you are, that very room, with his love and his presence.
In this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus,
so dear friend, be not afraid, for the arms of the Almighty undergird you. If you belong to him, and if you don't belong to him, you can, before this broadcast comes to a close, just right now, look up to heaven and say, yes. And when you say yes with an exclamation point to God, you are saying, Lord, I agree with your word. I do what you want me to do. I surrender all. I say yes to you, and you shall belong to him. And then great hills may tremble and mountains may crumble. God's loving kindness remaineth secure. Peace he will give to the contrite and humble. Thus saith the Lord, his promise is sure. Well, my time is gone, and I've enjoyed being with you. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening to Morning Devotions. Tune in again every morning, Monday through Friday, for a full half hour at the same time. And let's just worship the Lord together. Sit at his feet. Adore him, love him, worship him. And let his spirit and power and might fill our hearts and lives to overflowing until others will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. God bless you. Have a good day. The Lord is our hiding place. That's what the scripture tells us.
You are my hiding place.
You are